You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Hank Azaria, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN. Have a great show, boys. Hey, Don, let's go Mets!
Thank you, Hank, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, June 30th, final day of June 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. And, you know, the other 19 and a half, that's your responsibility. Yeah. It's another steamy day in New York. It's supposed to rain tomorrow, but it's steamy today. It's kind of uncomfortable. It's not fun. Not fun for people with a lot of hair and weight. Not fun.
But it's the summer. Yeah, I'd rather have this than it be four.
Summer of K.
With a blizzard.
You know, I've always wondered, is it better to be hot or cold? I don't know.
I'll tell you one thing. Well, I believe it's better. Well, it depends on the situation. But I'll tell you one thing. People love talking about some weather, boy. This never goes away.
I think it's better. I think weather becomes a big source of conversation as you get older.
Can you believe it? You see the weather? So,
yeah.
Oh, it feels hot.
This. Oh, wow.
Hey, have you ever felt anything like this? Well, yeah, you know, every year for a little while. That's literally every single year. Now, there are things that are interesting, like the fact that, you know, Portland has 115-degree weather and, you know, the climate is in peril. But in terms of just a regular hot New York day, isn't it funny how much it takes over the world as if it's never happened before?
I know.
Now, why do you like Portland, Don? I keep forgetting.
It's none of your business.
Well, you better hurry up and visit, because at this rate, it may be gone, Don.
Yeah, streets are buckling in Portland right now, so.
Don't worry, though. Global climate change is not a thing, so don't worry about that, Don. Take your time.
All right, so there's something today that I believe bears discussing. And that is that Shohei Ohtani is going to start against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. And we'll make this the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. And the reason I bring it up is that watching this guy the last 2 days, there are very few people that show up that are legitimate stars. I mean, he is a star. I mean, you can't take your eyes off this guy. He is almost like he's been built in a lab to be the perfect baseball player. He's got blinding speed. He's got unbelievable power. And, oh, by the way, throws 100 miles an hour and happens to be a real good pitcher. He is on pace to hit 57 home runs. 57 home runs. And his ERA is in the mid-twos. It's hard to appreciate somebody like this because we've never seen it before. And you could say Babe Ruth. But how many people within the sound of our voice ever saw Babe Ruth? And even Babe Ruth didn't pitch and hit at the same time. He did it for 2 years at the Red Sox at the end of his time with the Red Sox. But with the Yankees, he wasn't a hitter and a pitcher. He would occasionally pitch for them, but very, very infrequently. We've never seen this. This has never been seen before. Now let's look at what he brings to the party. He's got matinee idol looks. He's got a smile that lights up a room. And he's got talent that we've never seen before. It's hard to appreciate something that we've never experienced before. What level do we put it on? And we always talk about the bad things in baseball. We talk about steroids, sticky stuff, pace of game, home runs, strikeouts, how the game isn't what it used to be. They don't bunt, they don't hit, blah, 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 the whole thing. Mm-hmm. We should celebrate this guy. I'm going to be very intrigued how many seats are filled today at Yankee Stadium. Because this guy is a legitimate gate attraction. Now, I know it's hot out. But, you know, you go to baseball games in the summer, it's going to be hot. It is a night game. And this is one of the few people, and I've thought about this a lot, one of the few people that I would pay to see. I would pay a ticket to see Ohtani pitch tonight. And I would pay a ticket every single one of these four games to see him hit, too. I'd probably pay to see Steph Curry. I'd pay to see Tom Brady because he's the greatest of all time. I'm not sure how many other people. Patrick Mahomes, I'd pay to see him play.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Connor McDavid, although not, I'm not a big hockey fan. I know how great he is and transcendent. I'd see him and Sidney Crosby. I mean, all-time greats. Ohtani is doing something that is all-time great level. And I just wonder, this could be the proving point whether or not baseball is simply going to settle in as a regional sport. And, you know, Yankee fans will show up to see the Yankees play today. But I think that peripheral fans should want to show up to see Ohtani pitch today because this is an event, in my mind. I don't know what you guys think. This guy's a legitimate, marketable, international star that baseball has in its grasp.
But it baseball's regional for a reason, Michael. You play every day. So, like, how does it manifest itself, right? If you're a Met fan, are you going to not watch the Mets tonight to watch Ohtani? Probably not, right?
You're
going to
watch
the Mets
back and forth, though.
Yeah, well, listen, you can, and then baseball is kind of built where you get an alert. He's coming up. I'll flip over. I mean, I think baseball could do itself a service of, like, because I have the app. You know, send me an alert that Ohtani's coming up. Like, do it the way you do it last night with the no-hitter. Like, there was a no-hitter going into the ninth inning for the Rockies. I get the alert on my iPad, and you know what I did? I flipped on the game. As soon as I flipped it on, he gave up a hit. But, you know, why? Maybe you do that for certain players, like Tatis and like Ohtani and like Judge. You know, let people know. Like, don't expect them to sit there and watch 3.5 hours where he's only going to get his four at-bats or, like, tonight where he's going to pitch. But maybe they could do a better job of letting us know when he is going to be up to bat. So we can watch it. But I was talking about it with Andrew before the show. Like, in basketball, the Knicks aren't playing, but you're a basketball fan, you flip on something else. Or hockey, the Rangers aren't playing, flip on something else. But football and baseball, Michael, I mean, as great as Tom Brady is, I'm not going to shut off my Giant game to watch Tom Brady play.
Right.
You know, and baseball is kind of the same thing, where it's every day. So when Ohtani plays, he's probably going up against, you know, your favorite team playing. So tonight's an example. Will a Met fan be engaged in that Yankee-Angels game, or is he just going to watch his team? And a Yankee fan, is he going to be all hyped to go to Yankee Stadium and see Ohtani, or is he there to root for his team?
No, I hear what you're saying, but I think that each team has its base. But I think that a guy like Ohtani expands, not a base, but expands an attraction level, because you're going to get people that are curious, and you can't get an alert that Ohtani's batting because Ohtani's pitching today. So he's going to be on camera most of the time. He's a big part of today. So I think the peripheral fan that wants to be part of an event and see something special, they will come to the stadium or turn on Yes tonight because he is that special. This guy is really otherworldly.
We'll see. I mean, this is the third game of the series, played at the same time against the same team with the same, you know, competition, with the Mets also playing, and what's happening with the NBA and NHL playoffs. What's the rating in relation to Monday and Tuesday? What's the attendance in relation to Monday or Tuesday? Will it be higher today? Will those be higher?
Well, the attendance was between 25 and 27 the first two games. Not great. I thought it would be more because Ohtani hits and he's playing every day. I would say I'd be shocked if today wasn't 40,000 people. I'm not saying it's going to be a sellout, but I would be really, really surprised if 40,000 people don't pay to see this guy. You know, it's funny. You know, he had two home runs yesterday. One of them, I thought Paul O'Neill had a great line. It was a blistering line drive to right, and Paul said the only question was, would it go over the wall or through it? I mean, the guy does things that you've never seen before. And, you know, the Yankees were, you know, blowing the Angels out. So you can almost celebrate Ohtani. And somebody on Twitter said, hey, old man, you're the Yankee announcer. Why are you celebrating Ohtani? So there's a very parochial a view of baseball. Like, you know, you're the Yankee announcer. You can't celebrate somebody else who's on the other team doing well. It's unbelievable. You really do deal with this stuff. And I almost answered the guy back because obviously he has a problem with words. He said, you're the Yankee announcer, Y-O-U-R. Okay. You kind of lost your credibility, but
I don't know about that.
Why? It's either Y-O-U apostrophe R-E or U-R. It's not shortening it if you go Y-O-U-R. If you write Y-O-U-R, you're bordering on illiterate.
No.
You're not trying to shorten it. No, you're wrong.
You just don't
know the word.
I use your correctly. I fully understand it. I'm just saying I don't know. His argument was stupid because it was stupid, not because he didn't know how to the difference in your and your. Don, you're with me, aren't you?
I think Michael's being a little bit too harsh, but I understand he's coming from a place of anger because the guy was getting on him. But that's
right.
But that's
and also
baseball.
Called me old man. I've never been called old man in my life.
But what you were doing was so old man, right? Like that's an old man opinion. Like what do you celebrate the opposition for, Michael? You know, I think you want to be. That's a young opinion. Of hey, there's other things going on besides the same old, same old. You're trying to open it up, wake it up. But this is the problem with baseball: is people are in love with their team, not the sport, right? Because I think a lot of Yankee fans and Met fans too. They're so absorbed with their team, they're not watching it. That's why all these Yankee fans call up and complain about analytics. They don't know everybody else is doing it because they're not paying attention to anybody else. They're only paying attention to their team. They don't love baseball; they love the Yankees. They don't love baseball; they love the Mets. So they may not necessarily care, Michael, because they're going to go to that ballpark tonight, or they're going to turn on Yes because they want to hear the Yankees or watch the Yankees play. And they don't care about their opponent. Other sports are the same way. I mean, hockey goes through the same thing. You think that Connor McDavid comes to Madison Square Garden, people just want to see the Rangers. They want to see the Rangers win. There are people like me that love the sport and love watching all the great players that play in it. But for the most part, baseball just seems to be about your team and not caring about everybody else. Wasn't always that way. Remember Fernando Mania? Everybody cared when Fernando pitched. But over the last few years, it just seems to be, I only care about mine.
It's going to be interesting. And I hear what you're saying. It's become a very regionalized sport, which makes it successful because all the teams do well in their regions. But, you know, when you get an All-Star game or a World Series, it's nowhere near what it used to be. And I also think, you know, just having one of the most impressive at-bats to me that Ohtani's had in the first two games was the final at-bat of the game yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, Don. He hits a ground ball to Voit. He's down six runs, two outs in the ninth inning, and the guy's busting it down to first base like he's an Olympic sprinter. And Luke Voit had to really hurry just to beat him by an eyelash. The game was over. So this is what this guy's bringing to the party. And what kind of depresses me, and this is not a knock on the L.A. Angels of Anaheim. It's not. It's a beautiful enclave of California. It's right where Disneyland is. It's a wonderful area. But the games on the East Coast are at 10 o'clock at night. And all I could think, and yes, it's showing that final play and how Ohtani, you know, how fast he is at 6'4". But he's almost wasted on the West Coast. I know that sounds awful, and it's a New Yorker's view of the world, but it would have been better for the game if he chose a team on the East Coast. It would have been more marketable. More people would have seen him. And as for the Yankees, you know, as the announcer for the Yankees, I'd love to watch this guy play every day. I'm mesmerized by his talent. And the whole arc of the franchise would have changed. You would have gotten Ohtani, and you wouldn't have gotten Stanton. But it was brought up in the paper today, Don and Peter. I wonder how much would New York fans have put up with this guy? You know, he gets hurt, so he sits out a year. He has Tommy John surgery. Last year, look at his numbers. They're Gary Sanchez-like. Would they have turned on him? Would they have turned on him? Well, would we have ever seen that? And also, the Yankees, right? The king of resting players. Would they ever allow him to do what Joe Maddon's allowing him to do, play every day that he's not pitching and hit when he's pitching? They probably wouldn't have allowed it. They don't allow their players to play every day. So are they going to allow this freak of nature to do what he wants to do? That would have been interesting to see. But, boy, I would have loved to have seen it because Shohei Ohtani on the New York Yankees would have been marketable for the sport like never before. Mike Trout, still considered the best player in baseball. How many people really know him? If he walked down the street on Fifth Avenue, how many people would stop and say that's Mike Trout? No, I don't know, maybe 2%, 3%? Ohtani, though, has a bearing about him. He has a look about him. He's very distinguishable, and his talent is just incredible. I know I'm gushing about him, but he's just amazing. I've been amazed by him over these two games.
Anyone who's not gushing about him is not paying attention to what's happening here. I mean, it's crazy. We talked about when he came to the league what was possible, and then all of a sudden it quickly felt like it was a dud and it was going to be one of the all-time disappointments. And to your point, Michael, for the fans to stay patient, him to go through Tommy John, make it all the way back, and now be doing this,
well,
it's wild.
Well, the answer to your question about how would the Yankee fan embrace Ohtani, are you winning or not?
Right.
I mean, that's all. And if he struggled in the postseason or made the last out, it would all be related to whether the Yankees were winning or not. Because that's the way it was with A-Rod. You had A-Rod here winning MVPs every single year. They didn't win. They killed him. He'd go 3-for-3 with 3 home runs, but pop out for the last out, what everybody harping on. I mean, so I think if he was the best player on the best team, then I think the fans would love and adore him. If they were exactly like they are now and he's doing all the things that he's doing, the phone calls would still be complaining that the Yankees are only 3 games above 500. That's the way it is. I mean, because the Yankees have great players, Michael. They've got Judge. You know, they and Stanton, but unfortunately, even when Stanton's red hot, right, they don't appreciate what he did in the postseason last year because they didn't win.
But
Stanton's hitting 60 home runs, and the Yankees are 3 games above 500. Believe me, they would not be celebrating how good Stanton is to be complaining that the team's only 3 games above 500. I'm telling you.
I call this the kitchen test, and it's with all sports, and especially with baseball because it's so slow. Who on the Yankees, if you were in the kitchen and you have Yes on in the background, and I go, here comes whatever. Are you running in from the kitchen to see it that at bat? And the only one I could think of is Judge.
That's it.
Ohtani is a kitchen guy. If you're in the kitchen, you are running. You're leaving the sandwich unmade because you want to see Ohtani bat. And the Yankees used to have teams of kitchen guys. Jeter came up. Mo came in. Alex came up. Bernie. I mean, they had teams of it. Now they don't. There's nobody that you have to see. Maybe Stanton when he's red hot. That's
well,
it. Those are the guys.
Right now, you might hustle up to see Gary right now.
Maybe. And I think you would make an appointment to see Cole pitch. But, you know, the kitchen guy that you know he's coming up, you're not getting up from the couch or you're coming in from the kitchen to see that at bat. The Angels have that with Ohtani and they have that with Trout. The Yankees need more of those people. I think the Mets have that. With Lindor, he's that sort of player. Even though he hasn't produced to the level they want it, got a big hit yesterday, you know Lindor's coming up. I don't think you're leaving the couch. Conforto, you're probably leaving the couch. Alonso, you're probably not leaving the couch.
Yeah, I love that analogy. I use the same one. You're going to drop everything to watch him. That's select few. I mean, I guess it's up for debate. But when you brought that up when I was growing up, Michael, that was Strawberry.
Yep.
Had to watch a Strawberry at bat because you might see him hit the ball that's never been hit that far before. I'm sure for a generation it was Mickey Mantle, the same thing. Like, I think Judge definitely is that way. I mean, maybe when Pete Alonso had his big year, he could be that if he's hot. But that's a very – that's generational, right? And it might only be one time a generation you get somebody that's that good where you got to drop everything to watch his at bat. So I don't think you have to have – you know, a bunch of them on your team, but it would be nice to have at least one, and especially the way the Yankees are built. But again, it's all just around winning. They did not appreciate A-Rod. They booed Jeter when he was struggling, right? I mean, they would boo Mo when he blew a save. I think there's just a standard of excellence with the Yankees where they've seen great players, but they just want to see championships. So to answer your question, Ohtani could be doing everything that he's doing right now, and if the Yankees were 3 games above 500 – I don't know if they'd be celebrating as much as that we're celebrating it now as he's an Angel.
But I would tell you this, though. Bad teams sometimes have great players have transcendent years. So, like, if Ohtani was having this sort of year and the Yankees were 3 games over the way they are right now, he would still be appointment television. There's no way that you can't watch this guy. This guy is doing things we've never seen before and we'll probably never see again. Again, he almost looks like he's been genetically engineered to play baseball at a higher level than it's ever been played. And when you talk about the best player in baseball, you know, O'Neill made this point the other day. You can't say it's Trout. Trout doesn't pitch. Ohtani is the best player in baseball. He's better than Tatis. He's better than Betts. Because he's doing stuff that those guys don't do. He's a great hitter, and he throws 100 miles an hour. He's the best player in baseball.
It's not baseball's fault, but just the way that it's built, Michael, think about everything that you just described. In any other sport, the team would be good just because of that.
Right.
But baseball, you could have Trout and Ohtani at the same time, and they still be a dozen games under 500. It's crazy. If you describe that as a basketball player, they're a playoff team. Lock. Even hockey, we only play the 20 minutes. If you're that, like Connor McDavid, to me, is that good, that kind of transcendent player. And, you know, they're at least a borderline and a playoff team this year. But the Angels have been just a bad team. They're under 500 with this kind of historic player. Imagine having a quarterback in the NFL, Peter, be the equivalent of Ohtani and the team be 6-10 or now, you know, 6-11.
I mean, honestly, the only player who's close in the conversation to me is DeGrom.
Yeah, you have to watch DeGrom pitch. You have to.
And by the way,
yeah, because DeGrom could, even though he hasn't come close, even though he hasn't come close, it's he wasn't being a homer when he did it. DeGrom gave up a hit early in the game, and how he's like, we're all thinking it, no hitter tonight for DeGrom. Like, even though he hasn't come close, you feel like I've got to watch him pitch because he could pitch a no hitter. He might strike out 20 today, like something like that. That's the kind of feeling, but it happens once every 5 days. This is a guy that pitches once every 5 days, but he's hitting every day.
Right. You almost wonder. You wonder if DeGrom watches Ohtani and is like, I should bat every day.
You know what? As great as he is, he wouldn't hit for power like.
No,
Ohtani.
He's not hitting. No,
no. I mean, Ohtani's doing stuff that power hitters don't do, and I hope it comes across on the broadcast, and. We're not, like, being hyperbolic about it. The sound that the ball makes off his bat, you don't hear that often. There aren't many players that have that
sound.
What's
different about it?
It's just like this hard crack, like ball meets wood that, I mean, his bat speed and his strength must be. I heard that kind of crack of the bat with Bo Jackson. It's just very few people that have it. It's just amazing. It almost gives you goosebumps. Like the home runs he hit, he's just like that. And you don't hear that. If you watch him take batting practice, people like crowd around because, you know, there are certain players that you could watch when they're taking BP and turn your back and you know who it was. This guy is that guy. I can't explain it. You know, the wood on his bat is the wood like everybody else's bat. He's hitting the same baseball, but there's a different crack.
Well,
that just sends a signal that this guy is really different.
Well, listen, in a week and a half, we're going to have a really big moment for him because All-Star this year is going to be a big coming out party for Ohtani. This is
and the fact that he's taking, you know, being part of the Home Run Derby, Peter, that shows you he knows he wants to be on the biggest stage. That's why I'm surprised he didn't choose the Yankees. You know, he claimed he never even considered them. He didn't want to play on the East Coast, but. He likes the big stage. I mean, he likes the bright lights. Look at how he's played these first two games.
And on top of that, the fact that he wants to be in the Home Run Derby, he clearly enjoys this. So
yep.
It is interesting, actually, that he uh-huh. that he now how physically big is he when you see him on the field?
Bigger than me. I'm 6'4", and I sat next to him at the baseball writer's dinner a couple of years ago when he first made the decision. And, like, I was looking him eye to eye, and his hair is a little higher than mine, so he looks bigger than me. He's humongous. He is – he's like – you just don't see people built like this. He's most players from Japan are not this big. He is enormous. And the speed that he has is – again, I know it sounds weird. It almost seems like he was made in a lab. Nobody that big moves that fast. He's got blinding speed. He has 11 stolen bases, too. I know I'm gushing, but I mean, I love to watch greatness.
Well,
I really do.
You know, again, we'll see. I'm just at Ticketmaster right now, and it looks like there's a lot of seats available.
Amazing.
You know, because it just.
I know it's really hot, but really, is that going to keep you away from seeing something that's that great?
Well, I mean, but I think what you need to do is have it expand beyond our inner circle. I think everybody listening to this show gets what you're saying, right? But they're tied into their allegiances, right? They're Yankee fans, Met fans, or maybe they're just not baseball fans. They heard of Ohtani and they just don't care. You need to get this message out to people to where the average fan who wouldn't think about a baseball game is going to want to go because they've got to see this. And that's where it falls on baseball, Michael. Don't sell it to the fans who already love the game of baseball. You got to sell it outside. Fernando Mania came, Peter, in 1981. People dropped everything they did. They were putting the games on Monday Night Baseball. They had to see him pitch. And you know what? He was a Dodger. They were playing at 10 o'clock at night. But Fernando Mania was such a big deal because people outside of baseball cared about it, wanted to see it. Mark Fidrich was another one. You know, so how do you get the non-baseball fan to care? How do you get the message out there?
Well, we'll see tonight. That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. A lot of people want to talk. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment. Should be a fun show. We're on until 6:30. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
You know, we have this conversation as a topic a lot during the summertime. It's always a good one to go to when there's nothing happening. But we never actually had it as a top five list. And I thought it would be pretty interesting. A lot of debate, because that's what you want to do when you have these top fives.
Sure.
So let's keep it simple. Top five New York players.
Ever?
No, currently.
Currently? Wow.
Yeah.
Not a bad list. Look, I mean, can I
please
shock you? How about a little Adam Fox?
I like what you did there, Michael. I do not have him in the top five.
Who are you taking out?
Soon. Yeah, he won the Norris Trophy, and we should get into that a little bit later
on. That's a big award from what I'm hearing.
He wins it in his second. Well, as the defenseman. He's the best defenseman in the league. That goes to the best defenseman in the NHL. Bobby Orr won it a bunch of times. Matter of fact, only he and Bobby Orr won it, you know, in their first 2 years in his career. So, tremendous job by Adam Fox. I need a little bit more. That's a great poll by you, Michael, but I do not currently.
That was in honor of you.
Having the top five, but it's a good job.
Thank you.
Wait, this is top five current on or ever?
Current. Are
current,
you listening?
As I say,
it's a great show.
You know what?
I don't think he thinks it's a great show. Matter of fact, I think he believes it's the second best show. He goes hot before us, let's be honest.
No. You mean hot's third. The show he does on his phone, that's his best show.
Oh, wait a minute.
What show do I do on my phone?
Oh, you're constantly tweeting out and sending out all these missives. That's your show.
So is it Joey Salvia level?
Oh, yeah.
Joey was doing a whole show listeners during our show.
Bad ankle, bro.
I don't understand. I'm not really on my phone like that.
Well, listen, don't get defensive.
Why?
I just didn't know what he was talking about. Well, I don't think you're going to. How about Zibanejad?
Mika Zibanejad, I do not have in the top five.
Yeah. All right, let's get real now, okay? Jacob DeGrom.
Jacob DeGrom, Michael, great pull. I have him number one.
Of course
okay.
You do.
He's the best pitcher in baseball. He's the best athlete in New York. Must watch every 5 days. Special stuff he's got going on. I've got DeGrom at number one. That's a good pull.
How about Mr. Aaron Judge?
I've got Aaron Judge controversially because I figure this might be where we debate. I have him at five.
Wow.
I do have him cracking the top five despite his injuries. He's having a terrific year this year. He had an amazing rookie year. So just those 2 years alone, I think he deserved to be there. Now, his health has been a bit of an issue, but still, he's that guy you got to watch hit. He is that guy that still is a tremendous defender. Right? Let's not forget how good a glove he has, what a great arm he has. I got him at five.
You got to have Kevin Durant in the top five.
No, that's also a good poll. Considered him for one, especially with his playoff performance, but I have him sliding in at number two. Kevin Durant of the Nets, number two. So we've got Jacob DeGrom, one, KD, two, Aaron Judge, five. So we need a four and a three.
Well, you got to go with Kyrie Irving.
You know what? Kyrie Irving's a great poll, Peter, and I have him at four.
Big. So now we're just missing three.
Yeah, we're missing three.
Dare we go, Garrett Cole?
I do not have Cole in the top five. Considered it.
Who
him,
you taking?
I considered him over Judge, but you know it's still it's fairly limited. You know, great last year, and certainly this year he's been good. They don't win when he's on the mound, but still, I left him off the top five barely. He probably would be six for me.
Can I have another guess, Pete, or you have one?
I want to throw one out there that I don't think is going to be right, but I think talent-wise it would be fair, and that would be Saquon Barkley.
No, I mean, listen, he's got talent, and if you want that all-ability list, but, you know, it's still very limited, still early. He's had, you know, missed pretty much all of last year. But Saquon would be considered. He would probably be somebody considered in the top ten. Do not have him in the top five.
All right, so it comes down to two people, the final slot. I don't think you're going to give it to Harden, so I'm going to eliminate him.
Okay.
So I'm just going to scream out the food that makes me fat. Bread! Panarin!
Don't have him.
How do you not
I mean,
have
he's a great player. No, he's great. Again, there's a lot of good players we can throw in here.
But he's great.
No, he is great. But I who are you taking out? Who are you taking out?
Well, let's see who your guy is.
Should I reveal?
Sabrina Ionescu.
I don't know who that is.
She's on the New York Liberty. What's wrong
I'm
with
sorry.
You?
I'm sorry. I was just being – I did not know that.
At Hospital.
Rebecca Lobo. That's as deep as I go with my knowledge.
Of the Matthew Barzell.
No.
Wow.
I think Panarin's better than Barzell.
Bread.
The bread man.
Hmm.
Who are you taking out?
Capo Caco. I just wanted to say it.
You just wanted to scream Caco, didn't you?
I just wanted to say it. How about a player on the New York Knicks named Julius Randle?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
The way you said
Kyle
like
Higashiocha. Kyle Higashiocha.
Oh, that's your boy Rick.
Let's try that one more time. I haven't heard that before.
No. All right, guys.
Kyle Higashiocha. Kyle Higashiocha.
You can't give us this. We've got to figure it out.
All right, yeah. Well.
Don.
It's probably a football player. Cause
it's got to be Mekhi Becton.
No.
Is it a football player?
No.
Wow.
Is it a baseball player?
No.
Wow.
Is it a basketball player?
Yes.
Is it James Harden?
It is. I've got Harden at three. It's hard not
That's
to have
it.
These three, right? They're,
no,
they're
it's
three
impossible.
Of the best players in the NBA. And it almost maybe not want to do the list because you've got three on the same team. But how do you not include all three of them? And listen, I love Panarin. I love Zibanejad. Barzell's a great player. I mean, Fox made an impact last night winning the Norris Trophy. Who are you taking out? The only one that you maybe be able to debate because of his injuries is Judge. But I would go to war with the top four.
I think you could go to war with Judge. I don't think people fight with Judge.
Yeah, so I think this is a really solid five, and I know the hockey fans are going to freak out, but in which I am one. But who would you take out? Again, Panarin, phenomenal player. I mean, he had 95 points last year. Probably would have finished with 100 if they were able to finish the season.
I wish you loved the sport.
I wanted to put him in there. I wanted to put, you know, consider Zibanejad. Pete Alonso, I wanted to put him in there somewhere, but I don't think he's the defender that judges, the all-around player that judges. I mean, I need to see more with Lindor. I mean, he's been here for half a season and hasn't really been overly great so far. It's getting better. Cole, certainly under consideration, but I feel good about this list.
Peter, I think it's one of his top five lists ever.
It's a very good list. I'm shocked we hadn't – have we done it at a different time?
This was always – Michael doesn't know because the summer's a rumor to him. But all those shows, Peter, we would do, like, we just need something, right? And we'd be like – Andrew would always put in the rundown, top five players in New York. And we would touch on it a little bit, and that's where we'd get into our debate about, you know, Alonso being awkward and where do you put Saquon Barkley because he, you know – with the Giants and all that. Leonard Williams, another one you could have mentioned. He's been very, very good with both the Jets and the Giants, especially with the Giants. But we never had it as the top five.
You know what? Today. You hurt me, Don. What's the temperature today?
Oh, it's dancing near 100.
Right. I'm at work, aren't I?
No, but this is not human. You work very hard, Michael. You're the transmitter. But let's face it, your vacations are a little bit more than Peter and I. So we do a lot more work in the summer than you do. And then you throw in the times you do work, but there's a day game. Like Thursday, you're going to miss half the show. Not your fault.
I think it's going to get rained out, though, so don't worry
about
it.
All right, well, there you go. So we might catch a break. But, no, again, Peter, he's looking at it as a dig. That's just life. The big stars don't work in the summer. The great shows go on hiatus, right? We're lucky to have them. Like on a day like today, we're lucky to have him. He really has the power that on the last day of the spring book, work, say goodbye, I'll see you in October or September or whatever.
Well, I wish I had that power because I would use it. I do not have that power. Next contract, if there is one, it's I'm not working from the spring book to the fall book. See ya! How about that?
But like a lot of the big summer vacation. Think about, Peter, the big summer moments, the big summer topics, the big summer guests, hosts, and all that. When John McEnroe was walking around the studio in his underwear, where was Michael? When I was dancing around Mark Teixeira talking about the British Open, where was Michael?
Mm.
Right? When I was screaming "We Know" about Jose Reyes, where was Michael?
Mm.
The constant conversations about Colin Kaepernick. Where was Michael?
Mm.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer.
Just a reminder.
Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. Big win for the Mets last night. I got it wrong for you people, but I did it late. Maybe you didn't hear it.
Yes and no.
Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Capo Caco.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
Can the Bills fans stop?
Where's Josh Allen? He's in New York.
Can we stop that, please? The Bills are in Buffalo, not New York, if you understand what I'm saying, okay? I get technically they're in the state of New York. It's not a New York team that we're talking about. Do you think we can get away with talking about the Bills like they're the Giants or the Jets?
It does bring up a question, though, Donald. So I said the Angels really are not the LA Angels. And somebody brought this up on Twitter. Well, the Jets and the Giants really aren't the New York Jets and the Giants. Am I right? They're playing in another state, your state.
It is similar in this
state.
They
should not be called the New York Jets or the New York Giants. They're the New Jersey Jets and Giants.
But it's where they originated.
So then they can call the Dodgers the Brooklyn Dodgers?
No.
The Michael K. Show.
Anyway, we're not going to convince each other. No, let's go to...
on 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So... Anthony Pusick, I have a job for you. Aaron Boone is going to begin talking in about a minute. We're not able to carry the Zoom conference live, but I need you to monitor it, and I need you to tell me immediately what the reason is. The buzz right now that I'm getting is that there's nothing wrong with Judge. I'm not sure that's what Boone's going to say, not quite certain, but it's an awful look. You won one game. You've won one of your last five games. You've got one of the great marquee attractions in all of baseball on the mound, who, by the way, played every game leading up to this and is going to pitch tonight and hit and play again tomorrow, and you don't have Urshela in and you don't have Judge in. Injuries, we back off everything. I have to keep saying that, but if there's no injuries, this is ridiculous. It's a joke. It's an insult to the game.
I know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging what's good for the game and what grows the game. We had the same argument in the NBA, why the Nets were resting KD for a game against the Sixers on national television for first place so that he can play the T-Wolves on a 6 o'clock tip, you know, makeup game. Like, come on. Can you just acknowledge the moment? We opened the show talking about people caring about Ohtani. This could be a great way to sell the sport, make the sport more important. Well, if you can't get the combatants to care, Michael, then how are you supposed to get the rest of the country to care? Right? You want to go with the best against the best.
That's a great line. You're right.
And you're right. I know this is not like Judge's way, But you think Judge would go knock on the door and say, hey, Skip, put me in this game, please. It's one of the best pitchers in baseball. It's a great moment. Come on, I could rest tomorrow. There's probably going to be rain and not even going to play tomorrow anyway. I want to be in this game. Now, maybe he did and he was told to shut up. I don't know. I doubt it. But these players just accept it. Come on, embrace the moment.
They don't embrace the moment. The moment means nothing. I've told you that. I've told all of you listeners this. Their job is to find the most efficient way to win. They don't care about entertaining. And I'm not blaming them because that's not their job. They're not in promotions. They don't have to put on a pretty show. They just have to win. And they're not even doing that, though. So you've won one game out of five, and you've decided to rest your best player. I don't care what you say, who you choose. Aaron Judge is their best player, and he's their most popular player. So you take him out of a game against probably the most popular player in sports right now, at least in baseball. All eyeballs will be on Shohei Ohtani, and you're not going to have your best player.
Now, can't you just have all these numbers?
Aaron Boone, Anthony just told me it's just an off day. I give up.
No, it's so
one I feel he really needs. That's what he just said.
Hmm. Then what are we doing?
Honestly. What are we doing?
Because I get all these numbers, but there should be some person that says, okay, thank you, we appreciate it, but you know what? Today we're going to kind of live in the moment, and we're going to play our best player. So we appreciate it, you know, and we'll come back to you tomorrow, and we'll ask for the lineup, and we'll ask for what the numbers say and the days off and all that. And they cover themselves, Michael's, oh, this was going to be an off day. Weeks ago we determined this to be an off day. We didn't know that Ohtani was going to – we didn't know what the situation was going to – stop it. That's just a safeguard so you don't get killed. Fact is, come on, can we just live in the moment, please? I understand it's about winning championships, all right? But there's also given moments where you just say, no, today's kind of special. Today's kind of a moment
yesterday.
Where, you know what, can we put aside – I mean, they just go out there and win a game today, get best against the best and have a moment.
I'm sorry, and I'm probably going to ruffle feathers in the ivory tower here. It's disgraceful. I mean, what a tone-deaf decision. One I feel he really needs. He had a home run yesterday. He made an unbelievable running catch in right field. He didn't look tired yesterday. I mean, are you kidding me? For the good of the game, you don't want Aaron Judge against Shohei Ohtani, but they don't care because, again, it's not for the good of the game. What's best today moving forward that our strength and conditioning people say he needs a day? And again, it's got to be on Aaron Judge to demand to be in the lineup. Sorry, has to be. It's disgraceful. It's laughable. It's almost the sort of thing where Rob Manfred should call the Yankees. What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? You got to rest him today when everybody assumes tomorrow's going to be rained out? You got to rest him today. Shame on them. Shame on you, Aaron Boone. Shame on you.
And by the way, so all of this, and on top of that, you're not good? I mean, I could almost swallow this a little bit better if they were 15 games above 500. But they're so committed to doing everything that's the next right thing to make sure everyone's in perfect shape, and they're not even good?
Gio Urshela also, they said, just a day off. They needed a day.
Just another day. Okay, I'm sure Major League Baseball's thinking there, it's just another day. Doesn't matter that Ohtani's in town. Doesn't matter that there's this great moment. It's got to give him the day.
Doesn't matter that you've lost four or five games. As Peter just said so well, if you are on a roll, give him the day off. It doesn't matter about entertainment. This is about, don't you want to run your best lineup out there? He just needs a day I think he really needs. He had a ball into Monument Park yesterday. So unless they're fudging the fact that he's hurt, we got to take him at face value. They are saying, not hurt, just a day, one that I feel he really needs. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I don't get stunned anymore with sports. This rocks me to my core. I can't believe that this is the decision they've made.
It's really frustrating. It's frustrating to basketball fans, and it's frustrating to baseball fans that this has to happen. That there's these big moments that the league wants to sell, but you can't seem to get the players or the teams really involved in selling it, right? But at least the Nets, as wrong as it was, you had KD coming off a catastrophic injury the year before, right? You had a team that you knew was going to go to the playoffs, that you knew was going to make a run, all right? I didn't agree with it,
Because he could have very easily sat against the T-Wolves, a game nobody cared about, and played in a game that it actually mattered. But the Yankees don't even know what's going to happen. They're three games above 500. The playoffs are not even guaranteed. You know, you're talking about play the long game. The long game for what? Are you playing the 162nd game of the season and not even going to the playoffs? You open a show talking about how exciting it's going to be to see Ohtani. Well, it looks like Michael might be the only guy to go see that's exciting. You're not going to see Judge.
I'm almost at a loss for words. I'm almost at a loss for words. The sport and the people that run it have either passed me by or I'm just not getting it. I'm just not getting it. Again, it's a day I think he really needs. He hit a home run to the Monument Park and made one of the best catches he's made all year last night.
It's irrelevant, Michael, because it's a manager that probably will never manage in baseball again. But when Bruce Bochy was the manager of the Giants, he had a policy. If you hit a home run, you're in the lineup the next day. That was his policy.
I mean, Yankee fans are on Twitter right now, they're furious, and they have every right to be. They have every right to be.
Listen, I understand you want to win championships. I understand there's the long game, but you are in the entertainment business, right? I mean, right? Yes sells promos, right? And I bet you Judge is in every promo, right? You're trying to sell stars. You're trying to market stars. You're trying to put your best against the other. Really, I know baseball is a long season and you got to take days off and all that, but how often do you get in this sport kind of a mano-a-mano where you can really get people excited? Ohtani versus Judge. One of those big moments where people could actually stop what they're doing, sit down, and watch the game. And you can't get an organization to understand how important that is to market the game? Are the Yankees so popular, Michael, and print so much money that these things are just completely lost on them now?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter?
Well, I got news for you, Michael. Guess what? There's not going to be 40,000 people in that building tonight. And it's not going to be because it's 100 degrees out. And it's not going to be because it's supposed to rain later tonight. It's going to be because, you know, fans begin to lose interest of spending the money when they know that they're committing money to something and they may not be seeing the product that they love that much. Most tickets are bought in advance, right? Why would you buy advanced tickets knowing that there's a very good possibility that the player that you want to see, your 5 or 6 year old kid wants to see Judge, and Judge isn't in the lineup, and it's not because he's hurt. It's not because he's played 50 games in a row. Just needs a day.
All day, Don. All day on Yes. All day. We've been showing a promo on the bottom of the screen with an Ohtani and Judge photo.
Yeah. Not going to happen. And for no reason, and no good reason. I'm sorry, it's not a good reason. Just needs a day. Like you said, there's almost no shot they play tomorrow. And give them the day off tomorrow. Most people couldn't pick anybody. I don't even know some Yankees could pick the Angels starting pitcher out of a lineup tomorrow. Tomorrow's not a big deal. You'll call a great game, Michael. Maybe something thrilling happens. I'm not saying baseball's not important, but you're going to compare an afternoon game against an under 500 team to what could be tonight? That tonight you pick it? This is just as bad as the KD playing against the T-Wolves and not the Sixers, isn't it?
Well, here is Aaron Boone explaining this. And again, I've got to pull my punches with Boone here. This has got to come from somewhere else. Aaron Boone, I mean, his grandfather was a big leaguer. His father's a big leaguer. His brother, this guy, this is not him. This has to be coming from above, where somebody who monitors this stuff said he has to rest. Here's Aaron Boone, and here's a question from my colleague at Yes, Meredith Marakovitz.
Hey Aaron, why isn't Aaron Judge in the lineup?
Just a day, one that I feel like he really needs. And, you know, in this stretch, where obviously he's been one of the ones that have obviously played a ton and some really long games, some day games after a night game, a day game come tomorrow. He needed one today.
It's laughable. The guy who's pitching has played every day, and he's pitching. And tomorrow, in all likelihood, is going to be washed out. Listen, I try to explain things every day. I have no explanation for this. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm supposed to have the answers. I don't have it. I don't get it. I don't approve of it. I think it's disgraceful. I think it's a bad look for baseball. It's awful, awful, awful. Now, Ryan Hurley said to me on a text, could it be that Boone is covering for something with Judge? Well, if he is, then that's on him because we can only go by what he's saying. Not hurt, just needs a day. So that's what we're going to criticize. Not hurt, needs a day. Well, even if he's hiding something, he's the one who's going to have to take the blows on this. He has to. So if it is, you know, a cover for an injury, well, I'm sorry, we can't guess what it really is. All we can do is the information that's in front of us. He needs a day.
Yeah, I'm tired of trying to make excuses and all that, covering for injuries. And stop. We can only tell. We can only react on what we're told. And he told us he needed it. Michael, it sounded like he desperately needed it. Like, oh my God, how many games do you want the guy to play in a row? Oh my God.
And again, this guy has played more games than anybody. He and LeMahieu have played the most games. They have. That's a fact. Okay, you're going to play tonight too. We're going to play tonight.
All right. Take tomorrow off.
Take tomorrow off. Give him off against the Mets then, which would also be disgraceful. But right. Give him tomorrow off.
Well, you get tomorrow off, Michael. Even if
tomorrow is rained out, Don, give him tomorrow off. Right. Even if he's played, I mean.
I'm saying.
Let him have tomorrow off.
He really needed it. Like, there's no way he could have possibly gotten. But then, you know what? I got to question how great these players are, Michael, that you just can't do it. He just couldn't do it. I mean, he desperately needed the day. Give him the day off tomorrow. You got three games against the Mets, including a day game on Saturday and a night game on Sunday. So there's a little gap there. And then you're off Monday. God, you can't do it. Can't be done. And I know he's had his injuries, but he's played, you know, pretty much every day this year. But it's that. So they make it seem like going out there, what Lou Gehrig did, Michael, is he must have been an alien. But Cal Ripken Jr. did, he must have been an alien. It just, there's no way. You can't possibly play 162 games. Can't do it. It used to be with just catchers playing a day game after a night game. Now you can't even consider playing any stretch of time. If a guy plays, you know, 12 games in a row, forget it. He might spontaneously combust.
I'm sure Yankee people are listening. This is on in all the offices. This is from Twitter. These are your fans. Mark Pags, thanks, Michael, for saying it. What a joke. Play 99. Cecil Wilson, I can't believe Judge isn't playing tonight. I've loved the Yankees all my life, and this is one day where I am absolutely disgusted. Andrew Traeger, what a joke. They've become. Can't sit two of your best players when you're in fourth place and trying to win a series. Brandon Ezra, the 17th, said maybe the Yankees are afraid that Ohtani will steal the spotlight in New York if they go head-to-head. Emergency alert. New York City is urging all households and businesses to immediately limit energy usage to prevent power outages as the intense heat continues. So that just came up.
Let's ignore that. I'll keep my camera, lights, Comrex, and computer running. Go ahead.
Gary Menkes goes, that speech from Cashman yesterday is now worthless. What a joke. For the first time in my life, I hope the New York Yankees lose. Max goes, so glad you're giving two of our best hitters a night off, Yankees. I'm taking that off from watching this lifeless, unwatchable, fundamentally unsound team. Maybe I'll take tomorrow off, too. Bronx Bomber 27, sickening, absolutely sickening. Dan Federico goes, hey, Michael, remember when the season was on the line 2 days ago, and then they bench arguably be their two best hitters?
That's, I got to tell you, what a great point that is. To have Boone sit there and go, what was the exact word again?
Season's on the line.
So season's on the line. 2 days later, time to rest everyone. It's baseball. Sometimes I think they think they're playing a different sport.
Eric Hubbs from Barstool Sports writes, can't say the season's on the line, lose the first game of said series, and then bench Aaron Judge and Gio 2 days later because they needed one. He's right.
I'm just somebody tweeted about Schwarber playing for the Nationals. He's in a lineup today, day game after a night game. Right, he's played 8 straight days. They've got their best player in there.
Who, Schwarber?
Yeah.
You mean the guy who's hit what, like 18 home runs in 16 games?
Yeah.
I mean his arm's not falling off. And by the way, if you notice the thing with Schwarber, is that I don't know if you know this. Sometimes you just get into a rhythm and there's no explaining it because you're just in rhythm, and that is. Safe to say, guys, completely changed their season. and made you feel like they could be the Nats of 2 years ago?
I know if we got Boone on, he'll talk about it. He's a guy that's been injury prone. He's a big body. It's tough to – come on. I don't like to compare sports, but I'm going to. This doesn't happen in hockey. And I know they get days off, but they're playing a sport that's a heck of a lot more physical than baseball. You think there's a big game going on and guys are getting rest? If you go out there and skate 82 games, you should be able to play 82 NBA games, you should be able to play 162 baseball games. And when you got a day game tomorrow that, Michael, I would be shocked if they play. So they don't have radar? They don't have weather.com? Hey, big game tonight. Probably not going to play tomorrow. And heck, even if it's going to be sunny all day tomorrow. So he gets a day game off.
There are no words. I'm sorry. There are no words.
There's plenty of words. Some of them you can't say on the air.
We're in the middle of the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. If you just joined us, Shohei Ohtani pitching for the Angels tonight. And Aaron Judge and Gio Urshela are not playing. Simply a day off. Let's go to Gary in Huntington. Gary, you're next on the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Best show on television, on the radio, by the way. Longtime fan. I think you guys are the best.
Thank you.
You pronounced my name right, too, Michael, which is amazing. Gary Mankey's. But I got to tell you, I'm a lifelong Yankee fan. I'm 47 years old. I've never been so sick to my stomach right now. Cashman goes out and makes that speech yesterday. Aaron Boone, who I love. I love Aaron Boone. I do. I love the guy. I can't even hear him say what he just said about sitting Aaron Judge. Have they not thought also about protecting Judge? Because this makes Judge look awful, too. Can you imagine Derek Jeter saying, okay, and I'm not saying Judge said okay and just went back to the clubhouse, but Derek Jeter is going to walking out there and putting his own name on the lineup card. He's not sitting down. We're in fourth place. What are we doing here? We're the worst. We stink, Brian Cashman. All right, we'll play our best players. What is going on with this team? I don't know. You guys go. I think you guys are the best. I love you.
Thanks,
LaGreca. All you guys are the best.
Thank you. I can see it. I can hear it. Yankee fans are so disgusted right now. And again, the possibility does exist that he's covering. And if he is, I'm sorry. He's telling us one thing, and that's the only thing that we can make our commentary on. We can't wonder what it means. We can't. We cannot wonder what's really happening. Aaron, according to Max Goodman, who covers the team for Sports Illustrated, he said Aaron Boone adds that sitting Aaron Judge is a way to get ahead of things. He gets beat up a little bit in his lower half, especially this stretch of games. We're in 13 in a row. I just think he's overall a little bit beat up. Nothing I'm concerned with. Okay, sit him tomorrow. And again, unless he's really hurt, I'm sorry, man. Aaron Judge has to go into that room and demand to play. Demand to play.
They probably see the opportunity to give him the 2 days off, too, Michael. They probably know it's going to rain tomorrow and figure, oh, this is good. We'll be able to give him 2 full days off. Don't rule that out.
And then he said, today is a very hard one with all we're going through as a club and who he is to our team. But I also have to, at times, keep the big picture in mind. You're not going to make the playoffs if you keep doing stuff like this. There is no big picture.
Yeah, not when you said at the beginning of the week how important this week was.
And the GM, I don't use words like this on the radio, but I'm quoting him, said, we suck right now. So your GM, the vice president of baseball, said, we suck right now.
We suck right now.
And you're taking your best player out of the lineup for the big picture?
Yeah, and you likely have a day off tomorrow. You've got a day off on Monday, and the All-Star break is right around the corner, right? We're only a couple of weeks away from the All-Star break. So, yeah, again, this is the arrogance we're talking about. Michael, got to get these guys rested for the postseason. Well, if you don't win these games, there's not going to be a postseason. They'll get plenty of rest on the last game of the year.
I'll tell you this, Don. If he's this beat up, there's no way that he should be in the All-Star game. There's no way he should go.
That's a great point.
There's no way. Don't fly to Colorado. Don't you dare play in that game, because if you're not going to play against Ohtani, don't play in an All-Star game, which is an exhibition game. Don't even go.
Don't go.
Say thank you very much. I appreciate you people voting me in, but, I'm banged up. I'm not going. I'm not going, because if he takes that flight out to Colorado, and even if he plays in three innings, I'm sorry, this game's more important than that game. And this game might even be more important than that game for the optics for baseball. Wow. That's the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. I wish I could tell you what's going on. I can't. Not that I can't. I don't know what's going on. Let's take a look at this day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. In 2021, Shohei Ohtani, taking the world by storm, is starting against the New York Yankees, and they sit down their best player because it's time for a rest. Also in 1961, improving his record to 14-2, Whitey Ford becomes the first pitcher in American League history to win 8 games in 1 month with a 5-1 victory over the Senators at Yankee Stadium. The left-hander's 5-hitter is his 3rd complete game during the span and the team's 22nd win in June. That's this day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. All right, let's take a brief time out. A lot of people want to talk about this. We're here for you. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Well, the big story today is that the Yankee lineup came out and Aaron Judge and Giovanni Urshela are out. And according to the manager of the Yankees, there's no injury. They're just out. They needed a day. We thought they really needed a day. We opened the show today at 2 o'clock, waxing poetic, effusively praising the greatness of Shohei Ohtani and how it's great for baseball to have a player that looks as if he was genetically designed in the lab to be a superhero baseball player, and how exciting it's going to be for tonight. And one of the things that was exciting about tonight, to me, I want to see Ohtani throwing 100 miles an hour, try to get the ball past Aaron Judge. I do. I love baseball. I've said that over and over. And those are the matchups that you live for. That's why you tune into games. That's why you go to games. You want to see great against great. You want to see Durant against Antetokounmpo. You want to see how that turns out. That's how you settle scores. That's how you make decisions. That's how barroom arguments are. Who's better, Willie, Mickey, or the Duke? Well, back then, Mickey never played Willie or the Duke because there was no interleague play other than the World Series. Tonight, there it was. It was right there for you. How's Aaron Judge going to do against the biggest star internationally in all of baseball, Shohei Ohtani, who was put on a show for the first two games of this series? Home run in game one, 2 home runs yesterday, and now he's going to pitch. A guy who's on pace to hit 57 home runs this year, and by the way, is sporting a 2.58 ERA. He's the show. And then the lineup comes out, and Aaron Judge is not in the lineup. Now, in this world in which we live, I guess we have to try to read between the lines. But I'm sorry, I'm not a forensic scientist. All I could do is run with the information that you're giving me. I think he needs a day. He really needs a day. Well, is he hurt? Oh, he's banged up. You know, he's been on base a lot. Okay, that's what a 162-game season does to you. So isn't there any allegiance to the game for what's good for the game? Also, on Monday, you said essentially that this is now a do-or-die time for the Yankees. Yesterday, your GM came out and said that right now the team sucks. I don't use that word on the air. That's his quote. And then you're deciding, after winning one game out of your last five, to sit down the best player on your team. And the only thing that's stopping me from even going off more than I have is I think there's more there than meets the eyes. Because Aaron Judge has got a standing within the Yankee organization and a stardom that if he knocked on Aaron Boone's door and said, I'm playing today,
right,
he would be playing today. So he hasn't done that. Now you wonder, did he knock on Aaron Boone's door and say, I can't play today, which opens up another whole can of worms. But I just don't know which way to go with this, Don, because I don't know what's being said behind closed doors. I only know what Aaron Boone is saying publicly, and it's an awful look.
That's what I mentioned in the tease. You know, maybe he's protecting Judge because Judge is the one that doesn't want to play. And so Boone's taking the hit. He needs the day. And not protecting him because he's got like a major injury and trying to hide it. Is it possible that Judge went to him and said, Skip, I just need a day? Because you're right. Judge has the standing, right? He's the most popular player on the team. We've seen how this organization and others have bent over backwards for the stars. You're telling me that if Judge went into that office and said, I want to play, that they wouldn't have him play? Would they really risk ticking him off, ticking the team off? So I don't think you can rule out the possibility that Judge went to them. Now, maybe he went to them because he's hurting or he admitted that there's something serious and they're protecting him that way. But are they also maybe protecting him where Judge just said, Coach, I need a blow. I can't. I'm tired. I need a day off. And they don't want to say that because that makes Judge look awful. And again, I'm not accusing Judge of anything, but when everything's up on the table, why are we skirting that? That should be something we could talk about. What if Judge went to him and said, I want off? And then Boone's not going to say that because Boone wants to protect him from, because he knows New York. He gets it. He'll know how Judge would get abused if he said, oh, Judge came to me and said, I need a day off, Coach. Is that a possibility? You know the player. And I'm not accusing him of being weak or whatever, but maybe it's just, I can't play. I can't go. I need a day off.
I can't see a competitor doing that. I mean, I know Aaron. I wouldn't say that. I know him as well as I know the guys from the 90s championship teams. You know, we haven't been in that room for two years. We have a good relationship, but I can't see. I can see him going to Boone and saying, I need the day if he's really hurt. But just to get a blow, I mean, what a terrible look that would be for Aaron Judge. I need a blow today against Shohei Ohtani.
But isn't it just as terrible, a guy that's got that standing in the organization, to just accept the day off?
It's not a good look. It's not
either
a good
way.
Look.
It's not great.
Right. Yeah, I don't want him to be hurt,
Peter. The only thing that sells to me is if he's really hurt. And I don't want him to be hurt. But if he's really hurt and they're just trying to cover it up, then I understand what you're doing. But is he and Urshela both really hurt? So I think it can't be that he's really hurt. If anything, he's banged up and tired. That's not enough to rest today. I'm sorry. Well, you've got tomorrow off for sure. Either if they play, don't play tomorrow, or it's going to get rained out. Don't play tomorrow.
And he played the whole game yesterday, right?
And played great.
Right. So unless something happened on the way home from the ballpark, I mean, if he was hurting to the point where he took himself out of the lineup, I would think in a 12-5 game, he would have said, all right, get me out of here. It was 10-3 at one point, right, last night. So if there was something bothering him last night, they could have took him out of the game. That's the other thing, too, Michael. He's so desperate for a day. Then why did he get every at-bat in a game that was a blowout?
That's a great question.
Give him a couple of at-bats off. You could have given him a half a day. Once that game became 10-3, take him out.
And also, I mean, no one in the Yankees organization has the weather app. They don't see that they're unlikely to play at all tomorrow anyway.
But so maybe the whole key is they know they do have the weather app, Peter, and they want
to. And they're trying to grab 2 days.
They're trying to grab 2 days, and they don't want to give him Friday off against the Mets.
So, I'm going to look at the box score, but it was 10-3 at one point.
No, it was a blowout. It was a blowout.
But I just want to get the innings down and everything else. So I have it here. So the Yankees have a 10-3 lead going into the top of the fifth inning, and you got to get him off the field, guys, because he too many games, extra inning games. He's been on base a lot. He's had 1 day off in the last 13. Well, then at 10-3, why didn't you give him the rest of the game off? You could have taken him out in the top of the fifth.
He could have had half the game off if you're so desperate. But he ended up playing the rest of the way. All right, they made it 10-5, but still the game was not really in jeopardy. He could have had that whole time off, play him tonight, likely a day off tomorrow. So if you're so desperate, you have to. Doesn't matter, Otani. You got to get him off the field. Then what is he on the field at 10-3 in the fifth?
Aaron Judge has played through some serious injuries. He played with broken ribs. So that's why, to me, I can't see him saying, I want to rest today. But I also can't see him not barging into Boone's office and saying, I'm playing today. I want to be tested up against the flavor of the month now. I want to go up against Otani. It's weird. Now, Luis Rojas, the Met manager, just said that Dellin Betances will undergo shoulder surgery and will not pitch this season. And that's a terrible thing to happen to Dellin.
Yeah.
And a lot of people like to rip Cashman about things. He was smart enough not to sign Dellin Betances, and Brody did. And that was a wasted contract for the Mets. Dellin never pitched, essentially, for them. Was never right. And the Yankees passed on him, although he went to four straight All-Star games. They did not bring him back. And they loved the guy. The Mets did. So that's a move that's good. You know what else is a move that's good? And just through total happenstance, the Mets not getting Trevor Bauer. You've read the story, Peter, right?
Know. No. Oh, that. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And then his defense is, it's a total lie, but I met her online and we had consensual rough sex. I mean, really?
Oh, boy.
That's your defense?
That's not a great.
I guess he's being transparent, you know, so.
Well, yeah, and it's possibly true.
I mean, that alone isn't enough for, you know, but still, you can't completely dismiss it when you've brought it right up to the doorway of it, right?
But ever since the very beginning, it seemed like they caught a break there, no?
Yeah, but they caught a break. Don't give him any credit for it. They were in on that till the bitter end, guys. They caught the break, but they wanted him.
Oh, they wanted him. They lucked out.
They cannot ever spin, well, this is why we didn't sign him. No, because you could have very easily had him. You were right there. The Dodgers gave a little extra, and he went to the Dodgers. The Mets were right there.
Now, the Mets are putting out a tweet said that we have a big announcement tomorrow.
A big announcement.
Black jersey the day.
You know what that's probably about? They're probably going to wear the first date for the black jersey.
I think it's jerseys. About
Bonilla. You do?
That, Andrew said, what is it,
Well, the tweet, what you didn't mention was the tweet also has a gif of Bobby Bonilla. And July 1st every year is Bonilla's payday. So my guess is they're going to announce that Cohen has probably paid out the remainder of the contract. And it's over.
And he just reached into his car ashtray to do it, too.
Yeah,
right, he pulls out his wallet. How much do we owe here?
Let's get it done.
10, 20, 25. All right. Just in the pile. Yeah. Well, we'll report back to Cohen in a second as he's counting the money. And then, like, an hour later, all right, 15, 20.
He's gonna. By the way, good for Bonilla if that's the case, too. I mean, let the guy get the money. He's getting old. How old's Bobby Bonilla? 55?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also an overrated kill of the Mets, too. It's a fairly common practice. I think Seattle's still paying Ichiro.
Well,
it wasn't that awful a move. It looks bad optically, but it was actually a pretty strategic move.
Well, it looks bad because he was such a disappointment. But that's a gamble every time you go for a player like that. But, yeah, you're saying financially the move wasn't that big a risk.
No. Kind of just made financial sense at the time, but because the Mets were looked upon as cheap, Bonilla underachieved, it looked ridiculous that they're paying him forever. And good on Cohen. He's going to get his money, so let's put it to bed.
Yeah, because it's a source that people just use to make fun of them for really no reason every year.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Paul in Trenton. Paul.
Yeah, hi, guys. Listen, you know, I've been a Yankee diehard for years. And I always tell you, Boone wrestles the players too much. But now, it's disgraceful. I just had enough. I'm not watching the game tonight. I hope, even if they win a World Series, they're the ugliest 2021 team I've ever witnessed. I mean, really, honestly, I've witnessed bad Yankee teams that ended up winning. I can't root for this team. I hope they lose. Well, that's all. Thank you.
Paul, you got to tune in tonight. It's going to be a great broadcast on Yes. We're locked and loaded. Please don't say you're not going to tune in.
If for no other reason.
Anthony, please do what you need to do with that.
I never understood that. You love a team, but it's like, oh.
The Yankees fan since 1943.
Also, this gentleman sounds like, you know, he's kind of up there in years, right?
I hope they lose.
You're going to, like, switch your allegiance at the age of 80?
No, well, that's why he wants them to lose.
Because you hear this a lot. I'm never going to root for the Jets again. I can't take it. If you're bringing that up, you're itching to get out. You've been itching to get out for a while, and no. You're just going to find some excuse. You've been wanting out of town for a long time.
Well, hold on. I've had plenty of times with the Washington football team when I've said I wanted to leave, and I never have. Saying
never
it's
do.
Normal.
I hope they lose.
I don't get that. You could be upset about this decision, but you hope they lose?
Yeah, well, he wants them to learn to get the point.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But it wasn't. I want to see them lose because that's the only way they're going to clean house. Like, I don't agree with that, to root for your team to lose, but at least that's a reason. Reason because it's ugly? Again, that's the spoiled brat Yankee fan, right? I mean, you're 3 games over 500. You're not out of it yet. Like, that, Peter, it's so bad that they are out. Like, this is bad. There's some teams that we 3 games above 500, they'd be putting a parade together. They'd be having cartwheels. You know, so, boy, there must have been a lot of winning in his life that 3 games above 500, not winning a championship in a decade, is enough to want to kill yourself. Some fan bases, my God, Michael, that's actually a nice run.
I mean, there are fan bases that would kill to be just where they are right now this year.
Yeah, the Pirates, the Tigers. I mean, there's a lot of fan bases.
The Bears.
Yeah, the Bears. Let's go to Walt in Philly.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I was going to say, personally, if I were Manfred, I would actually step in this situation and overrule the Yankees and tell him Judge has to play tonight. I'd be on the phone to Boone telling him if he doesn't, he's going to be suspended for 30 games as games to punish and send a message that in certain situations, the commissioner has the right to overrule in that. And there is a precedent for it dating back to 1974 when Bowie Kuhn forced the Braves to play Hank Aaron against the Reds in the season opening series that year.
I don't think that's going to happen, Walt. I mean, in a perfect world, you'd like to see them be forced to do it, but there's no way that Manfred would step in right now because the Yankees could just say he's hurt.
I hope they lose.
Let's go to Gary in Flemington. Gary.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again.
You got it.
I'm an old goat. I'm about 75.
God bless
Yankee
you.
Yankee fan since 1956. Mm. I went to my first game in September 1956 with my dad. Cost him probably 2 days' pay for the tickets. He was sitting right behind the home plate. I just want to ask one quick question. Where's the Yankee pride? Where is the Yankee pride? When did you see Mickey Mantle, who used to have taped up an hour and a half before every game, as much as he could? That's all I have to say, folks.
Yeah,
take care.
It's a different world, Garrett. I get it. I understand your frustration. It's a different world. And I can, you know what? Peter always likes to make fun of older fans. People are genuinely befuddled by this.
Bring back the old days.
People are really upset.
My only problem with that call, the only thing I hate to do it, his father, it didn't require saving for 2 days of pay to go to the game.
You have no idea. I mean, what if his father didn't have a really great job? You're out of your mind.
But hold on. He said the game was in 1956.
Okay.
It was like a quarter to go to the game.
Let's put it this way.
His dad wasn't making 10 cents a day.
When I was growing up, right?
Okay.
When I was growing up, so let's say when I first became a fan, it was 1971.
All right.
A box seat at Yankee Stadium, a box seat, that means close to the field, was $4.
Okay.
We couldn't afford it, so now it sounds laughable, right? $4. Right. But that was a lot of money. My family couldn't afford a box seat. So okay. I can't say that. But
do you know what your dad's salary was in 1971? Confident.
It wasn't high.
I know, but I'm confident if we looked at the inflation, it was still more than $4 a day.
But
I'm going Captain Literal.
You're being Captain Literal, man.
I'm being Captain Literal, man.
I think he was just trying to – listen, he couldn't afford it.
But
in 1956, nobody's father made, you know,
a nickel
$10
a day.
You have no idea.
No.
You think he made a nickel a day?
You have no idea. So
hold
you
on.
Should keep your trap shut. You have no idea.
Let's do the math on that. That's 25 cents a week, $1 a month. He made $12 a year. You think that guy's dad made $12 a year?
You know, his dad might have had a cart that, like, went door to door sharpening knives and scissors. And if that were the case, then you'd include that in the story.
Yeah, and Don, even if he did that, as God is my witness, he'd still make more than $12 a year.
Right.
I've
got to tell you one thing. I got to say this in a nice way. I've never been more sickened by the sight of you, Peter, than this tack you're taking on what that gentleman said.
I love the old.
Just because you came from a very, very wealthy family.
This is,
you don't
understand. Don, is he not missing the angle here completely?
No, I'm not. Because
I'm not insulting him for being poor. I'm insulting his math. It's not possible. Oh,
but you're being Captain Literal, man. He can't possibly have meant that it would take 2 days' pay to go.
That's all I meant.
In 1956.
Well, maybe he meant
I was just calling out the story for being inconsistent.
No, maybe he meant like it would take 2 weeks' pay to get the disposable income to actually pay for those tickets. It's not that he couldn't pay for the tickets with his paycheck, but that means they would go without food.
Well, Michael, I thought you're a man who respected language, although earlier today you called that what's happening in the Bronx nearly a criminal offense. So you've thrown out literal. The literal thing is gone. Now I'm Captain Literal Man, and you're just willy-nilly with your words.
You're gonna actually criticize me on words, and you throw out willy-nilly, which
what's
is
wrong
child
with willy-
words.
What's wrong with willy-nilly?
It's not something that the highest levels of society use.
Wow, I didn't.
I mean,
I didn't,
you don't go into the Vanderbilts and they're saying, "Oh, willy-nilly."
I you know what? I don't know that you're right about that. I don't think it's déclassé to say willy-nilly. I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet
now,
Earth.
Where was the caller from again?
I don't know.
He was from old-timey America. No, he
well,
was.
Because it's never about the price of tickets. I mean, my father used to say, you can give me the tickets for free. I'm still not going to go because you got to cross the bridge. You got to pay for parking. Maybe that caller, when he was a child, had an eating disorder. He didn't consider it lunch unless there were 17 hot dogs. You know, so maybe.
So to go to the game.
It was like you give the tickets for free, still couldn't afford to go because he's eating his father out of house and home.
I feel, you know what? I hope you both sleep very well tonight. I really do.
Wait.
I hope you both sleep very well. No, you're not. You're making fun of the gentleman.
No, I'm not making fun. No.
He was very earnest, too. You're
Michael,
jerk,
somebody
two
that is
jackasses.
Somebody that uses words as weapons, as tools.
That's what I'm saying.
I understand the English language is very important to you. So we're trying to dissect what he meant when he said.
Yeah, I got something for you to dissect.
Meanwhile,
we just said he's over. We could have.
Meanwhile, Don, here let's get to the real nitty gritty. If a guy calls up who sounded 25 years younger than that, and couldn't get a word out because it was taking him a second because he's a little bit nervous, Michael will be going, hello. But because the guy, as long as you sound very old, Don, you can get away with whatever you want on this show.
But he also sounded like a nice guy.
Well, he did sound like a very nice guy, and I actually enjoyed
nice
his point.
Guy?
And he's got a drop. That
we
lives
wove
forever.
Him into the show. He should be flattered.
I hope they lose.
I like the guy. I was just pointing out a slight inconsistency. That is all.
You know, why don't you just take the rest of the show
And
off?
For the record, you think my parents were rich when they were taking me to Memorial Stadium as a kid?
I think your parents had a lot of money.
Real quick, was the big money rolling in from my mom teaching nursery school or my dad being a legislative assistant on Capitol Hill? Where
right
was
there.
The big
a guy that had
There's
no
a lot of corruption on Capitol Hill, so he's probably cashing in on something.
So that's okay. So
yeah, wow.
Defend the guy that you didn't know 30 seconds ago.
Call my dad, though, a
for
criminal.
For the better part of 5 years, his father's corrupt.
I'm just saying, that's where the money
is.
Poor people don't live in Chevy Chase. I'm sorry.
McGovern,
they don't.
Democrat. For the people.
My parents moved to Chevy Chase in 1986.
We have seen campaign finance shenanigans, and they worked on the McGovern campaign. They certainly didn't get votes for the guy, so what'd they do with the money?
That's
It's a good point, Michael. Look at the millions of dollars to get voted for a job that pays you, what, $250,000 a year?
We're also, they spent millions of dollars. The guy won one state. They didn't do their job, so the money must have gone somewhere. He won one state.
You know, that is an interesting take, but I'll just say my parents covered it well.
You ever wonder, like, as you were eating, like, your Fruit Loops, and there was a literal silver spoon in your mouth, where it came from? How did you get the money?
First of all, my parents would never have Fruit Loops. I would be eating, like, bran or clusters. Second of all...
I must be a bad father, then. Fruit Loops are big with the twins.
It's got to be Captain Crunch.
The Fruit Loops are delicious. And, yes, Don, that is... that there are people who at this point would call Child Protective Services for serving your kids Fruit Loops in 2021. But I respect it. And by the way, isn't everyone's spoon silver? It's the most overrated statement.
No. It's not real silver. I mean, really polished silver is very expensive.
Do you think that I had nice silverware in my house?
Yes, I do. You lived in Chevy Chase.
Don, you've never even been to Chevy Chase. You can't even spell Chevy Chase. You don't know the first thing about Chevy Chase.
I saw the sign driving down to D.C. That's all I ever saw.
You saw the exit 33, Chevy Chase. Yeah. Yep, that's it. That's all you know. You don't know anything. Please, find China in my house. Are you kidding me? The car that I borrowed from my parents to drive when I was a senior in high school was a Taurus wagon.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Then they stepped up and got a Dodge Intrepid, and it was a big deal. It was like, oh, getting the Intrepid.
I got to tell you, there's something very hinky going on with your family.
So you think they were covering up even back then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have saved nicely.
Now, all these years later, the money has obviously been laundered. It's clean. But back then, I don't know.
Well, and that makes sense because that's how they just got the new, like, porch on the backyard.
There you go. You don't get they drive a Porsche, and they have a porch. Anyway, the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. I think we went places that had to be gone to. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.